Anuela, and you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, and the radio show name is called Fantastic Friday. Please come and join us every single Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Friday morning.
Hey, let's see if I get this right. Look, we're here with our friends from Oswazosny. No. Oswazosny. Oswazosny. Where's that, you might ask? Where are you from?
My mom.
And then after that, where were you?
The hospital.
And then, this is going to take some time. And then, so let's just fast forward it. Where do you live right now?
In the Canadian border.
On the, there. On the, what? Oh, nice. So why do you live there? You a Mohawk?
Yeah.
You'll say it. This is a very famous one who is just in the fine arts. It's not called a competition, but it's a
fine arts festival.
And so what did you sing?
Oceans by Hillsong.
Oh man, that one kills it. I hear it's on Facebook. And who are you, young lady? Are you her sister?
I'm the mom.
What? And you drive a cool car, don't you?
Oh yes,
That's right. And what is it?
It's a Marauder.
That's right, a Mercury Marauder.
She knows how to spin those wheels.
Oh yeah, that works supercharged. And who are you? Are you a sister?
I'm a grandma.
What?
I'm shy.
So you guys all came from Oswazosny. Oswazosny. I don't know why, but you know what? I've been having a heck of a time with language. You know, I haven't used an inhaler for 2 days. I'm oxygen deprived. So how was it being in the competition?
Fun.
Festival.
Festival. Yes, it's not a competition. Right, everybody's a winner. Everyone gets a prize.
Except for those that don't.
Except for the losers. And there could be some, but none here, right? All right, well, welcome to sunny California. We're glad you're all... What? Who are these guys?
It is my grandfather.
Hello, Grandpa.
Yep. Angel Schultz. Well. In fact, he used to coach and teach music for fine arts before it was fine arts. It used to be called Team Talent.
Well, look, no offense, Grandpa, but we're supposed to get young people in these videos. We're trying to change our demographics.
You're in the wrong area.
Finally behind the camera. That's right. I'm on this other side. Wait. Oh! Okay, I'm back. Oh, well, that's all I got. We're here at the conference. Who's that? Oh, they're young people. Yeah, we're the guys with the trailer. We came all the way from Boston. Who are you?
My name is Pastor Keenan. I'm from Mosaic Church in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Nice. It's good to meet you, Pastor.
We're students.
We're all the way from Boston.
Yeah. We're staying in the same hotel as you guys. We saw your trailer. We thought it was awesome.
Oh, we're actually not staying there. We can't afford it. But we parked there. So I was hoping that you guys got a
everyone, I'm Jess Turner. Make sure you listen to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning, 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. That's way too early for me. Okay, thanks. Bye.
حرية الفلسطين. The premise of many horror films are haunted houses built over mass graves. The science fiction ones imagine aliens coming to colonize and enslave the earth. Western's champion settlers over the indigenous. Projectionist archives of colonial exploits as entertainment.
Long before Blessed greetings on National Aboriginal Day. Love and kindness still, eh? And we will see those changes.
I'm Julian Cooper. You're listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This is my favorite morning wake-up show.
On, and this old world will keep on turning. Let's just be glad we had some time to spend together.
Talking about love and truths and rights.
There's no need to watch the bridges that we're burning. Lay your head upon my pillow. Hold your warm and tender body close to mine. Hear the whisper of the raindrops blowing soft against the window and make believe you love me one more time. For the good times, I'll get along, and you'll find another. And I'll be here if you should find you ever need me. Don't say a word about tomorrow or forever. There'll be time enough for sadness when you leave me. Lay your head upon my pillow. Hold your head.
Love with honor. Love with respect. Love with humility. That's what the world is looking for today. Ain't it so? Yes, Mama. Come through with all colors and ignore the powers that call themselves controllers and leaders, taking us astray, astray. Al Green.
Don't look so sad. Just be glad we had this time to spend together. There is no need to watch the bridges that we're burning. Lay your head upon my pillow.
as we hate. Hold your warm into my close to my hand. Hear the whisper of the raindrops.
Hi, I'm Dale Rufus, and you're listening to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9, my favorite Friday morning wake-up show.
When I wake up, no makeup, half naked, I feel like I'm the sh- Pardon my language, but hang-ups do not define the kid. No, I'm not flawless, I'm scarred up and I'm fine with it. My body art a laundry list of all of life's unkindnesses. But I still sip tea and chant om and live free. Cause hardships and heartbreaks turn to rap epiphanies. And mom told me stay woke cause all gold ain't glistening. Choose your words wisely cause the all-knowing's listening. But no worries, I'm Gucci. My thighs are a little juicy. My dialogue, a little awkward. My idols still move me. My life is a movie like Raheem and Mookie. I'm just trying do the right thing, hope that it improves me. My bamboos accustomed to me, you'll be soon accustomed to me. This tomorrow I got royal hemoglobin coursing through me, and my strength is now inhuman. I get that straight from my umi. Signed and sealed from out the grill of yours and truly.
You better shine on them, baby, you're a star. You better be exactly who you are forever, cause they gon' try and change your heart. Don't let up, cause you're so damn fine just the way you are. You better shine on them, baby, you're a star. You better
overnight. I was in that mirror like 4 or 5 times a week on my mind. Beats reciting affirmations like holy rites, and I still don't know everything. But I guess confessions from 8x11s and studio sessions seem like it's only right. And trust me, this my therapy. F*** your couch. Finna murk all these Murphy types. Funny style, let me shut your mouth. Touch me, I'm slaughtering crews, squads, goons, teams. The queen is coming to rule your region, coming for all of your plus your house. I ain't always have it in me. No tolerance for pretending. I was 14 years old, forcing pills down my throat, so my baby fat diminished. Still got these scars from cutting my wrist when I thought the life was finished. Now they remind me what my lows look like. Now I know the sky's the limit. Okay, never claim to be perfect. That's an impossible dream. I'm just saying that I'm worth it. That's the responsible thing. Didn't have my life, but I found my life from outside sources. Why the only voice that mattered came from me.
You better shine on them, baby, you're a star. You better be exactly who you are forever. Damn fine, just the way you better shine on them, baby, you're a star. You better be exactly who you are forever. Cause they gon' try and change your heart. Don't let up.
And happy birthday to all these strong women out there.
Go in, she too aggressive, that's
especially the Quest.
And her content a little too obsessive, just relax a bit. She
happy birthday, Catherine, Twin.
Now I don't really F with female rappers, that's just sacrilege. Glad I learned early not to internalize every ink up. Daddy told me with every opinion there comes a sphincter. And they would rather she them thoughts than popularize a thinker. Why them lying archetypes is chasing cat, them trying to sphinx her. Rap arrow, skin caramello, apparel mainly vintage. Merrill composer, warrior, so every verse became a vengeance. Went through too much hell to not be fine, but they still feign in ignorance. So now I came to click my just do with remaining interest. Baby, I'm a star without the flash frame of Fenty. Came out the doctor up the entire.
This is for my city dwellers, my storytellers, my soundscapers, music makers, and my dreamers of dreams. This is for the beat layers, the street sayers, the graph writers, and the painters. This is for the crate keepers, the image freezers, the lens seekers, and the photogs. This is for the spinners, the rewinders, drop the needle, pull it back and come againers. This is for the movers, the body users, the kinetic acrobatic defying gravity provers. This is for the filmmakers, the actors, the activators, my sculptors and my can sprayers. This is for the dubbers, the dancers, the scribers, the scholars. This is for the freestylers, my improvisers, my poetical, lyrical, spiritual vocalizers. This is for my speechifiers, for the visionaries, for the bridge builders, the chain breakers, the power takers. This is for the door crashers, my drum beaters, the call to action. Take it to the streeters. For my behind the sceneers, my planners, my finders, our on task and right on timers. For our organizers, our survivors, our motivators, and our strivers. This is for the uplifters and the uprisers. This is for you, our ancestors. This is for you, our people blessers, our children, for our vision, for our villages, our hoods, our nations, our truths. This is for our culture, for our generation. This is for our creator and our creation. This is for our inner being and our outer, for our say it louder, big and prouder. This is for the art, for the word. This is for the sound. This is for the power.
Reina of the jungle. Mira mi tranquila vida riding down the Congo. Got that Eldorado when my mama do the mambo. I so aficionado while I'm banging on my bongo. Little one is saco vida reina of the jungle. Mira mi tranquila vida riding down the Congo. Got that Eldorado when my mama do the mambo. I so aficionado while I'm banging on my bongo. Hold up clean in the whip. Fly girl lean on scene in the bitch. Team full of queens look gleam on the wrist. Feet up Regine, shorty mean in the hips. She seen if it's lit, let her beam, let her twist. Wine to remind and she twerk to resist. Working it, worship the earth in a dip. Stole it from Africa, seeking a gift. 16 on a ship.
You're still listening to Fantastic Friday on CKW 95.9 FM when you dial in Winnipeg. This is Ross Ricoy with Prince Ogona, Princess Tim Solom, Queen Victoria, Dr. T and John, who's here but never here. Also, editorially, Princess Rachel and controllably, what was the word you put in there again?
Sing!
Controllably and, what is the word again? And perfectly. Princess Cat. Read. Get that cat in there.
Little one is Soko Vida Reina of the jungle. Mira mi tranquila vida riding down the Congo. Got that Eldorado when my mama do the mambo. I so aficionado while I'm banging on my bongo. Little one is Soko Vida Reina of the jungle. Mira mi tranquila vida riding down the Congo. Got that Eldorado when my mama do the mambo. I so aficionado while I'm banging on my bongo. Freedom my people from here to Montego. Dale morena like this Puerto Rico. We go and we make it rain like El Nino. Got that sofrito.
Khele sagal jagata
Hi, I'm Colleen. Please listen to Fantastic Friday every Friday from 6 to 8 a.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Come join us.
Mukujle ke ti chutti naal jinni
mercy, watch out. Out of mercy, watch me now. It name murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Shuffle the deck, me and the queen in a the park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the con, so no better watch that. Show me step up in a life, them won't forgive me a fight. Show me look cute and them no look too right. They call on me to over me, man, a fight. And that now one, no time in a them life. Me no cut up, I can model every time. Absolute niceness, come with pair rhyme. First class dress code and your style.
Hi, everyone. My name is Belaine Osman. I'm a student here at the U of W. My students actually call me Madame Oz. Just letting you know, CKUW has an awesome show called Fantastic Friday, and you guys should listen to it. Stay tuned.
You're a black man, you're an African. No mind your nationality, you have got the identity of an African. Cause if you come from Clarendon, and if you come from Portland, and if you come from Westmoreland, you're an African.
None of those things matter. Because coming from here from West Africa in a country called Nigeria is a professional man they call Prince Ugone to give you news and views from Africa. Prince Ugone, nah.
Yes, good morning, Hunu Keduke Kwanu. Greetings from Africa, Kozunu. We have our first piece from Democracy Now, where we speak to James Elder, who spoke about the situation in Rafah. He's quoted saying, "The physical and psychological exhaustion they face is almost impossible to capture." He says, characterizing Israel's offensive as a war on children.
We're on a mission to take life-saving medical and nutritional supplies for UNICEF to 10,000 children in the north. We've gone through all the processes. It's very complicated. It's detailed. We've seen far, far too much aid denied and restricted for people who are in such desperate growing need. It's about a 25-mile journey from where we were, Derry Bala, to the north, to Gaza City. Amy, it took us 13 hours, 8 hours of those were near checkpoints. In the end, there was a who said, she said on our truck was enclosed. They thought it was a van. We waited. In the end, it was denied that access. We were unable to get those supplies to those 10,000 children. As we waited, Amy, ironically, I've been talking to a colleague about the fishing industry, about, you know, this destruction of education, of healthcare, of housing, of agriculture. This colleague friend of mine explained how his father-in-law had a fishing business, and he showed me videos of when his fishing business, the boats, when they just went up in flames, when they were bombed or missiled, boats, wood, and of course, fuel. And he showed me this. He explained his father-in-law had a stroke at this time. So I was engrossed watching these fishermen. This was just 8 or 10 men in knee-deep water, in the ocean or in the sea, with a single net each. And I was looking at each kind of thinking, you're probably a university professor. You're maybe an engineer. Watching for hours and hours whilst we waited to get our aid. Suddenly, there was a tank. This was very near the Israeli large military checkpoint. There was gunfire. Next thing, two of the fishermen just up on the beach were on the sand. Now, I was luckily with other colleagues, World Health Organization, a paramedic. They immediately rang to the authorities to get us permission, those people with emergency medical experience, get us permission to get onto the beach to see the state of these two fishermen. That was denied. That access was denied. Half an hour later, the other fishermen, just so desperate to get to see their friends, their family, I'm not sure, in the air, we gave them body bags. They went, they brought them back, and that's where I saw that one fisherman had been shot in the back and one fisherman still with the fishing net around his ankle had been shot in the neck. My executive director, I think, captured it very well to the Security Council many months ago, saying that the killing of children in Gaza and the destruction of Gaza cannot possibly bring peace to the Middle East. We are now at this terrifying time where it seems like it's being normalised. There is nothing normal about another night here where the bombardments are relentless, the drones are relentless. You do not sleep. Okay, obviously children get bombed as well, but there is no, the psychological torment of that. That's ongoing. Just before we started, I heard more fire here, more bombardments. That will be relentless. So 250 days, Amy, children have gone through this. The physical and psychological exhaustion they face is, yes, almost impossible to capture, because on top of that, you have a nutritional crisis like the Gaza Strip has never seen before, and that's why we're trying to deliver aid to the north. You have a water desperation that we have not seen here, that normally 15 litres of water is a bare minimum per person, and a bare minimum, that's to clean, to drink, to wash. We're down to a couple of litres of water. It's the middle of summer here. It's sweltering heat. I looked at a thermometer in a tent the other day. It was 55 degrees Celsius. I don't know what that is. It's way above 100 Fahrenheit. Yes, people in Gaza are used to the summer. They're used to summer in their own homes with a cross breeze, with ceiling fans. Now they are in tents, side by side, sweltering on the sand. So that lack of water and lack of food is not just playing into disease on those most vulnerable being children. It's also now we just have sheer risk of dehydration. So from the skies, it is relentless. I was at a hospital just a couple of hours ago before speaking with you, European hospital. Within a moment, I see Hala, 4 years old. She's blind in one eye after the family home was struck. Wahid has lost his arm and his leg after he was asleep and he woke up in rubble. And Yassim has lost his right arm. This is within a minute of seeing it. There are, I don't know what it is now. I got numbers when I was here in November, Amy, 1,000 children with amputations. I don't know the number now. We should stop these numbers. We have to focus on that human story. But, of course, the scale is unprecedented. And as hard as it is to believe, it continues. And, of course, people ask, is it worse now? Of course it's worse. It's worse every day. It can't not be. Today it will be a bombardment. Today will be more people without food and water. Tomorrow will be worse. It will continue to get worse until those with the power of the pen, those looking over this ceasefire, start to understand and start to care about the level of suffering the children and their families are enduring here. Yes, I mean, look, any restriction in bombing, any pause in the bombing is good news for children. There are most nights here, they're almost sleepless nights, whether it's the bombing or whether it's the drones. A bombing is like, if it's close, I thought I knew, Amy, what bombing sounded like. I had no idea. When it's really close, it's like someone banging pots next to your head. A drone is a lawnmower and it's relentless. There are attack drones and there are surveillance drones, and there's more fire now. So any restriction in bombing, any pause, whatever you want to call it, is good news for children. But we have to wait and see what this will actually mean. This is a small portion of getting aid in through one part of the Gaza Strip. Now, to facilitate aid is good, but a much bigger picture than that, the responsibility of Israel as the occupying power is to enable aid to be distributed safely on the Gaza Strip. That's not happening. Chaos is being sown because there is such high levels of desperation, because there is such a lack of security. As you said rightly, Amy, there are more United Nations colleagues haven't been killed in this war than at any time since the advent of the United Nations. So whether this will mean smoother, faster, safer aid operations, we hope so. But what will really for that to truly happen would be more crossings opening, many more crossings opening. We've been speaking about that, the Secretary General of the United Nations, for months and months and months. That's one part of it. The second part is, of course, just we go back to a ceasefire. Ceasefire is flooding the Gaza Strip with aid, getting hostages home. Ceasefire would get hostages home, and a ceasefire would enable us to start to address the nutritional crisis. For example, Amy, UNICEF was treating 3,000 children with the most dangerous form of malnutrition here in Rafah. And then we had the military offensive in Rafah that we all begged not to happen but somehow feared would. That quote-unquote limited military offensive, limited offensive that led to a million people being displaced, it also meant that our stabilisation centre there, treating 3,000 children, was inoperable in a minute. Children getting treatment suddenly, and they're gone. Now we have to try and go back into those communities, back into these tented hellholes, to find these children, to find those families, because without that treatment, they will die. And Rafa Crossing, which was the lifeline, Rafa Crossing was the lifeline for humanitarian aid, has been closed for more than a month now. So there's such a constant war of words here, but we just need to look at evidence. Evidence is that humanitarian trucks coming in May was half that of April. Evidence is there's a fraction of routes open that should be. Land crossings are the most efficient and cost-effective way to get aid in. Evidence is that the pier is no longer functioning. Evidence is that we are catapulting, if you will, into a nutritional crisis. And the evidence is that as we try to deliver aid and as children try to be safe, bombardments continue.
We have another one also from Democracy Now. Here we speak with General Wilkins, who is the chair of Maryland's Legislative Black Caucus. We speak with Maritza Perez Mandina, the Director of Federal Affairs at the Drug Policy Alliance, and Jason Orritz, who was himself arrested at the age of 16 for cannabis possession and is now the Director of Strategic Initiatives at the Last Prisoner Project.
It's important to note that this is a rectification of what should I call it, atrocities committed against young black people, especially against black people on the whole, but young black people, putting them in the prison industrial complex or making the prison industrial complex as a result of them. You'll see that this is very similar to the oppression of Palestinians.
Exactly. They kind of talk about Maryland Governor Wes Moore's historic pardons of 175,000 marijuana-related convictions in the state, including drug paraphernalia-related convictions.
As chair of the Legislative Black Caucus of Maryland, the largest black caucus in the country, we know that leadership matters and representation matters. And especially as we embark upon Juneteenth tomorrow, this is a historic moment that we are so proud of. Our governor is the only person in the entire state that has the ability to pardon. And so for him to use the power of the pen to not only pardon a few, but to go big and also include various types of drug paraphernalia in his pardons really says a lot. Unfortunately, the war on drugs really impacted black communities, and it still continues today in Maryland in terms of the results of these types of criminal convictions, whether it's housing, whether it's education, whether it's employment. So this really provides an impactful opportunity for equity and for those impacted to be able to live their full lives. One of the pieces of legislation, actually, that the Legislative Black Caucus of Maryland had as a priority this legislative session deals with banning the box on housing. When people apply, for example, to live in an apartment, they are oftentimes asked about their criminal convictions. And so even with something like cannabis, where we have legalized it in the state of Maryland, we have an equitable framework for how cannabis licenses are distributed, and we make sure that it's as inclusive as possible, people still bear the brunt of maybe having a cannabis conviction and having to say that they have that on their record when they are pursuing housing, and a landlord can decide that they don't want that person to live there. And so we did push legislation this year, which we will be reintroducing, and it was sponsored by Delegate Adrian Bawafo from Prince George's County, to ensure that we ban the box when it comes to housing so that individuals are able to really apply for housing, be able to access housing, and for it to be something that is not a barrier for individuals with criminal convictions. Similarly, with obtaining certain licenses in the state of Maryland, there are sometimes background checks and criminal checks where something like a conviction for cannabis could prevent them from being able to obtain those licenses. So we see time and time again where those criminal convictions that were fueled by the war on drugs, despite the fact that black people consume cannabis the same rate as other communities, we see that we are criminalized and convicted, charged, arrested more than any other community. It's unjust, it's unfair, and the governor taking this action really puts us on the path towards equity in our state.
This really is a sweeping pardon that's affecting hundreds of thousands of people.
And what made this pardon distinct was that the fact that it included paraphernalia. I would like other governors to take similar action. I also want to say I also, you know, commend the governor for really couching this as a racial justice issue. We know that the war on drugs has targeted communities of color, so the relief should also target those communities. And the governor was very clear about that. So, yes, this is really a historic announcement, and I hope to see other governors take similar action. Maryland really set a precedent by including not just simple possession charges in this pardon announcement, but also paraphernalia charges. And this really opened the door to having more people have the records expunged, which is really, really exciting news. Like I said, it would be great for more governors to pick up a similar initiative. But really what we need is, you know, federal relief. I know that people are excited about the rescheduling review that the Biden administration is currently undertaking. At the Drug Policy Alliance, we think that this needs to go further. We need to actually deschedule marijuana and remove it from the Controlled Substances Act. It's important for folks around the country to understand that moving marijuana from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3 on the CSA will still maintain criminalization and federal prohibition. In fact, it's probably going to be incumbent on states to take more action, just given that at the federal government, very little will change.
I was arrested at the age of 16 in high school in Norwich, Connecticut. I was actually smoking with some friends on the way to school. And as soon as we got there, we were surrounded by security guards. They were kind of rough with us a little bit. It was one of the first times I've ever been, like, seriously in trouble. And when the police showed up, I realized that this was going to be something very different than I've ever experienced before. And I can tell you, whenever somebody puts chains on you, puts handcuffs on you, drug policy becomes a very real thing very quickly. And so for me, I got expelled from school. And so I lost 2 years of my high school career. I was alone and isolated for most of that time. I had to do after-school work while all my friends were actually out enjoying their lives. And so for a very long time, I was isolated. I had to go to court countless times. And my parents, who were not wealthy, there were two union-working parents, had to pay tens of thousands of legal fees just to make sure I wasn't permanently incarcerated. And it really derailed my entire life. But thanks to the work of advocates that were able to change the Higher Education Act's federal aid elimination penalty, I was able to go on to college and actually get my degree from the University of Connecticut. So I was negatively impacted by the war on drugs, but also positively impacted by the movement to change it and end it. And so yesterday was a historic day to be able to actually be a part of that. One of the charges that I did get as a youth was possession of paraphernalia, and it did actually increase the amount of potential time I could have served. And so to actually see the governor move on from simple possession shows the momentum of this movement, the momentum of this moment. And as Maritza said before, we do need to expand this to include other charges. I do believe that things like distribution and cultivation should also be included in these types of pardons. But as the folks have said before, we do need federal action to really rectify the harms done by the war on drugs.
This last piece, also from Democracy Now!, we speak with Israeli-American Jewish scholar Raz Segal about the University of Minnesota's move to rescind a job offer over his comments early in the war on Gaza, when he characterized the Israeli assault as a textbook case of genocide.
Many Jewish scholars, of course, but many Israeli Jewish scholars in universities in Israel, many of them do not necessarily agree with my interpretation of Israel's attack on Gaza, but understand the very dangerous precedent here and are very fearful of the implications. And of course, what we're seeing in terms of suppression of academic freedom in Israel is in many ways related to this. So I think that's also in their minds. But yes, many Israeli Jewish scholars also support me. On 10th of June, when the interim president withdrew the entire offer, all of it, I was still the provost called me and said that the university is still interested in offering me the academic position in the history department of tenured associate professor. That was in the original offer as well. But I have not yet received any revised offer. So currently what the situation currently is that the official offer was officially withdrawn, and there's nothing besides that at this point. That's one issue. Look, the response of the university is ridiculous. This was a completely of the leadership of the university. It's important to say, as I said, faculty and students across the university overwhelmingly. I mean, Professor Painter and Chahot, the two professors who resigned from the advisory board of the center and started this scandal, right, are absolutely unrepresentative of faculty and students in the university. And they're furious at this because everyone knows that this was a completely legitimate hiring process. It was actually public. It also actually had a lot of community outreach, right, for people to come to the job talk, which was public. People could come, and people indeed came, also joined via Zoom, and provide feedback, provide the responses. You know, I met with a lot of people when I was in the campus visits here. So the response of the university, as if now, after an official job offer, after a professional and academic hiring process had been concluded and a job offer was made, now we need community consultation, is simply in order to blur a clear truth in front of everyone's eyes that the JCRC here, again, claiming falsely to represent all Jews, is putting political pressure in a very dangerous way on a public university, which is absolutely unacceptable. It's also important to say that this is the center directorship. This is a center in Holocaust and genocide studies. It's not only about Jews. What about indigenous communities, native communities, which are very important in Minnesota? What about Armenians, which we have many, many communities of forcibly displaced and refugees in the Twin Cities, right? Again, the idea, this also is very, very dangerous because it feeds into anti-Semitic ideas about Jewish power and influence, right? So the JCRC here is also doing a very dangerous thing, feeding into this ideas about Jewish power and influence and intervention here. And it's simply false. They had an opportunity to provide feedback in the regular hiring process. I mean, it spells the end of this idea of free inquiry, of academic freedom, of research and teaching, and all in the service, of course, of supporting an extremely violent state, a state now conducting a destructive assault for 8 months on Gaza, genocide or not. I mean, I firmly believe that we're witnessing a genocidal assault. But even if we're not, I mean, an extremely violent assault, there's a case of genocide against Israel in the International Court of Justice. The chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, Karim Khan, has requested arrest warrants against Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel Defense Minister Yoav Gallant on war crimes and crimes against humanity. I mean, an international outcry. Dozens of Holocaust and genocide studies scholars, not only me, who have spoken about genocide in Israel's attack on Gaza, or at least the serious risk of genocide in Israel's attack on Gaza. So all this in the service of supporting a violent state and also supporting, again, this very dangerous idea that the only way to be Jews today is to be Zionists and to support Israel. And as I said, the opposite is the truth. It's not that criticizing Israel is anti-Semitism, not at all. Criticizing the people who criticize Israel in this way, this is anti-Semitic. This is an attack on Jewish identities. This is an attack actually on people who are aiming to criticize a violent state in order to protect a group facing state violence, which is actually very much in line with the historical struggle against anti-Semitism. So this is really a world turned upside down. And in the frame of this world turned upside down, we also see the end of the academic world, of academic freedom, of free inquiry, of teaching and research. It's very, very, very dangerous. And that's why so many people in the University of Minnesota, across actually the academic world in the US and around the world, right, within and outside academia, are actually mobilizing now in support of me. But this is, you know, not about me anymore, right? This has far more significant implications and consequences. What is there more to say, right? It's all in front of our eyes, the utter destruction of Gaza, this genocidal discourse, the expressions of genocide that we've been exposed to and we're witnessing since October. This is really, Israel as a society awash now in genocidal discourse, full of war criminals. And yet the support of the United States in this genocidal state and its attack on Gaza just continues and continues. And of course, the reason is that if we need to come to terms with Israeli settler colonialism, with this idea that there can't remain Palestinians, right, in Israel, that Moshe Feiglin has articulated via Hitler, right? If we need to come to terms with Israeli settler colonialism since 48 and actually even before it, until Israel's destructive assault on Gaza, that really means that we have to come to terms with settler colonialism more broadly, also in the United States and in other places. And who wants to do that? And that's why we're seeing, that's part of the reason also that we're seeing this horrific attack also against Jews right now, intensifying more and more, including against me in this case, right? Because anything in order not to really come to terms to open this Pandora box for the West of settler colonialism and settler colonial genocide that we're all witnessing now. This is the reason that the Biden administration continues to support Israel, whatever happens.
All right. I don't care if your nanny was black. Or you ate grits for breakfast every morning, and you knew a girl in high school, a black girl, and she was nice. I don't care if your nanny was black, because Michael Griffiths is dead, killed by white youths who got her free, even though witnesses testified to their crime. So I don't care, you hear? I don't care, because black woman Tawana Brawley was raped by four white cops who are still out on the street. And Donald Trump takes out a three-page ad in the New York Times calling for the death of six black youth accused of raping a white woman. So I don't care if your nanny was black and you ate grits for breakfast every morning and you knew a black girl in high school and she was nice. I don't care, you hear? I don't care, cause for too long we have held our pain in our very flesh. For too long our bleeding hearts in our chest. For too long our eyes have seen what they can no longer bear to see. Our anger will rise like a red flood and spread across this land. Tear down monuments built on our blood and cast away false idols, and we will tear down this wall, tear down these walls, tear down these walls of this Jericho, of this Toronto. So I don't care if your nanny was black and you ate grits for breakfast every morning and you knew a black girl in high school and she was nice. I don't care, you hear? I don't care. Me no care, you hear? Me no care. I don't care, you hear? I don't care.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, how's it going, man?
All right, well, Afua set it up nicely. She's saying that atrocities mustn't go by without notice or not no reaction. At any rate, we're looking at some of the reaction in the weekend here was nice. I enjoyed the Spence neighborhood at the first festival, I think it was.
Right.
Between Portage and Broadway on Spence Avenue. That was nice.
That was good, yes.
And then Casimiro in the night. That was in the night. Yeah. That
was solid too. He did come and check out the thing, yeah.
Yeah. And then that other thing at the gas station. Yeah, that was nice too.
Yes, yes.
So we had a nice weekend of good music and good connection. What we have coming up now?
Well, we got another Bongo coming up. That is in July 27.
Mm-hmm.
That is a Saturday for everyone. 7:30 in the evening till 8:45. We are going to have Todd Martin on Bellophone again. Mm-hmm. He was at the he was playing some Bellophone at the gas station theater there.
Yeah.
So he's coming down again. We got an ex brother named Amara. He's going to be playing Cora, and naturally we have Umpo Mambira. He's going to be doing some djembe. He was also doing some dancing at the thing. He's another bongo-bongoer.
Mm-hmm.
Marty Dreads, myself, going to do some keta drum with it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be again at Modern Coffee. Once again at Main Street and Inkster, for all the people, come get your coffee thing on and get your donut and them kind of stuff on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Give them the date again for them to write it down.
We'll give it July 27. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Saturday evening and at 7:30 in the evening till about 8:45.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And give thanks for what just passed by on the 19th for everybody who didn't pass through. Ras Rico and different crew did pass through, Sister Catherine and In Spirit Oguna. Give thanks for the Prairie Dancers and everybody that did make that happen. Give thanks to Paula Blair. Give thanks to Gas Station Theater and